Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Actually, it's the last part of chapter 12, first part of chapter 13. It's 12:31, and then we're going to keep going in 13, verse 1 through about 7 this morning. Then I want to talk to you about a better way. Do you want to do things the best that you can possibly do? What if I told you you could improve? Would you be open to that? Some of you would. Some of you would say, I don't care. What? I'm not changing. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Verse 31 says, but earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mystery and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, show us a better way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Houston, I love you. Kenny, I love you. Are you getting nervous yet? When the pastor gets out, you know, this message has had to make me question me. And I think that's good every once in a while when we all come down to the point of asking ourselves, why do I do what I do? How am I doing? Am I doing it well? Could I be doing it better? That's what this is about. It's about doing it better. That's why Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he says in verse 31, he says, I show you a better way. You see, the church at Corinth, they got all caught up in spiritual gifts, and they wanted those gifts that put them front and center stage so that people would look at them and say, wow, look how spiritual they are. Look, that guy can speak in tongues. Look, that guy can prophesy. Look how awesome they are. That's not what spiritual gifts were about. Paul said, I show you a more excellent way, a better way of doing things. But it it still applies today, but here's what I need you to do. I need you to accept the fact that there is a better way of doing things than the way you're doing them right now. You got that, right? You see, today's church, Victory, as well as churches across America, preachers are preaching, teachers are teaching, but there's not a lot happening. We're not seeing that overflow and the altars filled and the people giving their lives to Jesus. Do you ever ask yourself, why not? We serve the same God that Peter preached about on the day of Pentecost. We have the same Savior that Billy Graham preached in the stadiums, and stadiums were filled. What's missing? I dare say what's missing is the love. Oh, we come to church. And many of us are serving week in and week out. And we do whatever that we were asked to do. But I've got a question. My question to you as well as to myself. Is it done out of the love? See, that's what Paul's saying there in verse 31 when he said, desire the best gifts. I want the best of the best. What about you? The best spiritual gift that you can have is the spiritual gift of love. Surpassing all else, no matter what else it is. That's the best. We know that from chapter 13, verse 13, he says the greatest or the best of these gifts is love. But I want you to understand when we say love in verse chapter 13 here, it does not just say love. It says the love. There is a definite article. Every time that word love is used, there is in the Greek, there is a definite article of the. So it's not just saying, well, we're supposed to love one another. I can preach till I'm blue in the face about how I'm supposed to love you and you're supposed to love me and we're all supposed to love one another and it won't do any good. Until we understand that we're not talking about a love that says, I really do like you. We're not talking about a love like the world uses that word, I love pizza or I love the Razorbacks. We're talking about the love, the agape love of God. It is a God-given, passionate, unconditional love that no matter what the circumstance is, you're still there loving people with a God love. You see, it's that kind of love that God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for your sin and for mine. It's that kind of love that held Jesus to the cross of Calvary. And it's that kind of love where the invitation goes out, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, that's love. It's not a love because we deserve it or we have earned it, for we have not. It is simply the love of God that cannot be matched anywhere else. It's kind of hard to describe, to be honest with you. But I can tell you this. You cannot manufacture it yourself. I can tell you once again, and you can tell me, we're supposed to love one another, and we can preach that till we're blue in the face, and it's not going to work. Until God gives that love. It is a spiritual gift. You say, Brother Doug, how do I get this spiritual gift? Well, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you. Are you willing to do, if I could tell you how to receive this gift, would you do it? All right. I'm going to tell you. Okay? And what I'm going to tell you is that you already have it. It's already in you. If you are a believer, if you are a child of God, it's there. How do I know? Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Look at that word, poured out. That's not something like that God was in heaven and He dropped a two or three drops of love out of heaven and we're supposed to find it. No. God has poured out His love into the hearts of those who place their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. It is in you. The problem is that we get so distracted by the junk of the world and the attacks of Satan and the spiritual warfare going on that we forget it's there. It is there, though. You say, and again, I love that picture, the narrative there that Paul used when he said it's poured out. It's like a flood of love. You remember what it was like when you were saved? I couldn't describe it to you still to this day. I just knew something went through me, on me, around me, and I was saturated in the love of God. That's what we're talking about. It's there. Go back to the day you were saved. It's there. We just sometimes get distracted. Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it elaborates more. Well, you say, Brother Doug, how is it poured out? I give this to you, Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I want you to think of the sorriest person you can imagine. Does everybody know somebody that's just sorry? Would you raise your hand, please? There's a few honest people here. I want you to think of the sorriest individual you can think of. And I want you to think, what would happen if you poured out every bit of the love that you were capable of pouring out into the life of that sorry individual? See, that's what Jesus, that's what God did for you. Sometimes we get that deserving or entitlement attitude of, well, you know, I'm not that bad and God saved me but you know, others, they're just too bad. No, you've got to understand, you were a sinner. You were a sorry individual deserving of nothing and entitled to nothing from God. And God loved you so much that He poured Himself into you, literally. You see, it's that love, the love of God. I believe with all my heart as I stand before you this morning, I believe it's that love that will change this church. It is that love that will change the city of Russellville, the state of Arkansas, the United States of America. It is that God, agape love, that is the gift that we need. You see, it sets the tone for your ministry. It sets the passion for your ministry. You see people that are lukewarm, that are just kind of surviving and going along with business as usual. What's the problem? You've lost the love. And you have to understand, the absence of love, this God love, will absolutely kill a church. Does not matter what church it is. If that love is not present, the church is sick and dying. You see, when members stop loving, they lose their passion. When they lose their passion, they stop serving. When they stop serving, they just settle in and get comfortable. When they get comfortable, they eventually fade into the sunset. That's not what we're called to be, nor to do. Revelation 2:5 or Revelation chapter 2, Jesus was speaking to the church at Ephesus, and you remember what He said? He says, I have somewhat against you. And you remember what that was? You have left your first love. Literally, it reads, you have left the love you had at the first. That's what happened to Christians today. You see, we can remember that love, but when we actually and honestly ask ourselves that question, am I serving, am I living in that love, most of us would have to say, no, I'm not. And we're missing out on the greatest blessing that God's people could ever experience. Because that love, or the love, does not seem to be the focus of who we are. You see, that love is necessary. It is a must. It is so very important. It's not an option. It's never meant to be an option. That love is, if you read verse 1, let's read that again in chapter 13. It says, Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. Oh, listen, friends, I can preach hellfire and brimstone all day long. I can give you the Greek and the Hebrew definitions all day long. But without love, I'm nothing more than a noise. And if you'll notice, I'm putting the eye on me. I'm going to let you put the eye on you, okay? Read verse 2. Verse 2 says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Woo, I can be the smartest man in the room. And it means nothing if I don't have love. I can understand every word of the Bible. I can study day in and day out. It doesn't mean anything if I don't have agape love. Oh, I can understand prophecy. I can know the books of Daniel and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Revelation, and I can tell you about the second coming and the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and we can talk all prophecy all day long, but if I have not love, it means nothing. I am nothing. That's what Paul said. And I hope you're taking this personally, because I'll tell you, I did and still am. And though I give all my goods to feed the poor. You know, be that person that's community minded and reaching out to help children in the community. And, you know, the backpack program and Main Street Mission and all that. And I give and I serve in that. If I have not agape love, it profits me nothing. Oh, I can sacrifice my body and literally be killed for my faith. But if I have not love, it profits me nothing. You see how important this love is that I'm talking about today? You see, as I prepared this message, I personally had to reestablish my priorities just a little bit. And I hope it's making you do the same. You see, I want to challenge the church that from this point forward, for the rest of the year, everything that we do be based upon a God-given, the God-given gift of love. Before I speak and I preach, I want the message to be based on love. Before we have a choir practice or have a choir special, let that special be based on love. Before you sit through a preaching service and listen to me, let your setting there be based upon the God-given love that Paul is talking about. You see, I believe with all my heart, when we get to that point where it's all about love. Now, understand, I'm not suggesting that we compromise doctrine or anything. I'm just suggesting we need to get back to the basics. And when we get back to the basics, this love, the love, agape love, is very visible. You don't have to wonder if it's present or not, because everywhere you look, you'll see the fruit of that love. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. That word, suffers long, it literally means to be patient. How many of you have a patience problem? Here we go. I'm with you. It's not love. And this doesn't mean, okay, when it says love suffers long and is kind, that's not two different things. It's actually supposed to go together. Love suffers long and is kind while you're suffering. Let's just put it this way. Love is patiently kind. Is there kindness present no matter your circumstance? If it's not, then there's a love problem. You ever had a bad day and take it out on somebody? Somebody says, "How are you today?" And you say, "What's it to you?" You may be suffering. There's no kindness. You're missing the love. Gentlemen, do we come home at night and after a bad day and want to kick the dog? There's a love problem. Things don't go your way, and so you want a clean house of everybody that's in your way. You have a love problem. Because love is patiently kind. Love, it says, does not envy. It means to be jealous, that there's hostility and resentment. Listen, I can tell if I'm loving or not by the way I respond to you. And you respond to me. If it's hostile and bitter, I need to back up. I'm not loving. Love does not parade itself. It simply means to brag. This is the guy who, man, he works hard, but he wants to advertise it because he wants everybody in the church to know it. That's not love. That's not love. Love is not puffed up. It means to be arrogant. Have that better than you attitude. And love does not behave rudely. Ooh, here we go. You ever behave rudely? Ever behave rudely? The idea there is not to be offensive. And I'm not talking about the world's definition of offensive by using the wrong pronoun. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about respect. Love is always, without exception, respectful. That means you may not agree with me, and I may not agree with you, but there is a deep-seated respect through the process because of the godly love that's present in both our lives. Obvious, that's one thing that's missing in society today. You know, it's the respect when a police officer pulls you over. The appropriate response is, "I don't have to show you my license." No, that's, the man's got a gun. It's a lack of respect. The appropriate response is, "Yes, sir, you may see my license. Here is my license." And when he says, I pulled you over for speeding, don't deny it because you know you're guilty. "Yes, sir. I was going too fast." That's love. That's love. Honoring and respect towards others. That's what love is. Love is not provoked. You know what it means to be provoked? It means irritated. Love will never lose its temper. Never. Love thinks no evil. That word think, it's an accounting term. It means to reckon. You know, like you would balance books. And the idea there is love does not enter evil as a debt into an account book. Do you know people that remember this person abused me 30 years ago and they hadn't gotten over it yet? What's your problem? You're not loving. You're not loving. Well, I was hurt in a church, and that was 40 years ago, and I don't go back to church. You're not loving. You see, love doesn't keep an account book. It loves in spite of the faults and the failures of others. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but in truth, doesn't find joy in sin. That's not love. You see, the world would say that love is me accepting the sinfulness of the world, whatever that sinfulness is. No, that's not love. Love is me shouting salvation from the rooftop, from the condemnation of the sin of the world. Love is when I share Jesus Christ with individuals. That's love. It's not my job to judge, are they worthy? That's not why I'm here. Read verse 7, we'll close. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. And love endures all things. This love, the love that I'm talking about, it bears all things. That means it endures unpleasantness. You know, life is not always good and easy. Sometimes you just have to press through it, right? It believes all things. And that word believes, the idea is to have trust. And it's to trust in the Lord no matter what. Things are looking bad. Oh, it's all right. Jesus has got it under control. That's love. Hopes all things. And that's the expectation of eternity. There's always that hope. Knowing that it doesn't matter what's happening in the here and the now, we have an eternal home in heaven. So it has all that love. You see, you keep that attitude. That word love endures. Love endures all things. It means to face and withstand with courage. It means to be brave. Sometimes you just have to take a stand. But the one thing I want you to notice in verse 7, there is a repeated phrase, all things, all things, all things. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things, endures in all things. The all things. That no matter what, no matter your circumstance, no matter your situation, there's never an excuse for not loving. I'm going to say that again. No matter what you face, no matter your situation, there's never an excuse for not loving. You say, Brother Doug, you don't understand what they did to me. You don't understand what we did to Jesus. Okay? Don't come off with this they've been abusive to me mentality when you and I are the ones that hung Jesus to the cross of Calvary. Oh no, I didn't hang. Yes, you did. First time you sinned, you put Him on that cross. You see, before I speak, I need to be sure I'm speaking from love. Whether it's to Beth, whether it's to you as a church member, or whether it's someone outside this church, you see, the love of God is always appropriate in every situation. And I want to challenge you. I, for the coming weeks, this is going to wind up being long term. But for the coming weeks, I want to challenge you this challenge. Before I speak, before I serve, if you're a teacher, you know, Awana's about to start up, college ministry's about to start up, and all these good things going on. But before I do anything, I'm going to ask God for the gift of love. And anything that I do will be done from the perspective of the spiritual gift of the love of God. That's going to be my focus. Will you join me in that focus? Will you join me in that focus? Will you join me in that focus? It's going to be awfully lonely if I'm the only one that has that focus. Listen, this hadn't been a message where I'm pointing fingers at you or them or anyone like that. That's not what this message is about. This message is about a better way. A better way of doing things. And I'll be honest with you, this message was very convicting to me. I hadn't had time to apply it to y'all. I had to apply it to me. Now, I'm going to ask you to apply it to you. And however God applies it to your heart, you take it personally, you take it to heart, and let's serve the Lord from the perspective of the agape love of God. Heavenly Father, I pray for that gift of love. I know it's present and I know you have poured it out, but I also know that the world tries to take it away. There's distractions. There's moods and feelings that I have that quite honestly get in the way. So, Father, today I want to ask you to help me to love as I have never loved before. And not with the love of this world, but with a godly love, unconditional. And Father, I don't want to stop at me. I want to pray on behalf of this church. I pray, Lord, that you will help every member of Victory Baptist Church to have this agape love showing through in all that we do. Father, we're coming up on the time of year that's very busy. School starts again. Awana starts, college ministry starts, teen ministry gets back to the church, and just so much going on. Lord, help us not to be busy, but help us to serve with your God-given love so that the world can see how wonderful that you are. Father, I pray in this service now that you will move freely among us, that you would convict of sin, that you would draw men to you, and I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray.